What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts,
Anne Catherine
and Caroline. And if you're new here, welcome to Girls with Goals. We're here every Monday talking health, wellness, confidence, life, everything that is a part of it. And today we're talking about body image because that is a huge part of everybody's lives. And it's been
Let's just say it's been absolute shit recently.
It's been a while since we've touched on it. And I think that it has felt a little bit prominent in both of our lives lately and maybe others as well. Now that I feel like spring, summer is approaching, I feel like that is when those things kind of start to creep back in, become bigger. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Why it's sometimes hard to love your body, how to love your body, and then answering a lot of questions that you guys submit about body image as well. Before we do that, let's get into our highs, lows, and goals of the week.
What was your high of the week? My high and low were kind of the same thing, but our roof deck, like in our apartment building, the roof has a grill on it and it has an insane view. But it's been closed because COVID restrictions, but it just opened and I've been so excited to use it. So booked a slot, did all the things. Like they had to train me and like show me how to use everything and I had to fill out so many forms, but because so many rules. But I was so excited to use it. So we invited some friends over for dinner and I was so excited to like cook and have a good time. And then here's what we get to the low is, you know, I thought it's my house, right? Like I brought the food up. I expected.
We also went to the grocery store and bought food.
Yeah. So like we planned, prepped and put this event on, right? And I was wanting to be the one that grilled and like did the cooking because I enjoy that and that's what I wanted to use the roof for, right? But my low is that someone else just started doing it and
without asking, and I think with good intention, like wanting like, oh, you, this is your place, you bought the food, like I'll help out by grilling, but like without asking if anyone else wanted to. And then I think maybe and Catherine felt a little bit uncomfortable to like push herself in.
Oh yeah,
like,
I wasn't
no,
gonna like
can't. I want to
I wasn't gonna take over, but it wasn't even like, oh, let's, we can do it together kind of situation. It was kind of like they wanted to just do it and do it on their own. But that was my kind of low of the situation. Everyone had a good time though, so
yeah, overall it was a good night. But that's disappointing when you like planned it. And then Catherine likes to like grill and drive the boat. I feel like you
what
like, I'm just thinking like sometimes you like to step into that like grill master I got my boat license kind of side.
Like I like
you.
To be I like to be doing things.
Yeah,
like I enjoy that. But
that just means that we have to book the grill again with our family because I think that we would have a good time. My high was actually, I think, for our internships right now. We got to work together, or we are getting to work together, to create a cool marketing video. And so this past week, we got to start filming that. And so we went to a camera store, got a new tripod for my camera, which is nice because now we have a tripod for the camera because the old one we had was broken. And like found a cool spot, set it up. And it was just like fun to be a little bit like directors for the moment, even though it was very basic. We just had people like sitting, talking, like reading them their script and like showing it to them and stuff. But it was just fun for a second to like be on the other side of the mic and the camera. And now we get to use our editing skills that we love to use for the podcast and everything like that to put this video together. So that was probably my high. My low was that we spent a lot of time this week trying to figure out travel plans, as we have been spending a lot of time recently.
What? How did I forget that as a low? My goodness.
I know. It was the low, and it took me a while to remember as well. We've been trying to figure out a family trip that we can take while we're in Asia. We're here for just one more month, and it's just been very difficult, so much more difficult than we anticipated. And it's like every time we think we have a plan, something falls through.
Because,
a lot
like,
with COVID restrictions.
It's just
and
really irrational rules,
yeah,
that are tripping us up. Like the biggest one is if you are recovered from COVID, a lot of places won't accept that and still need a PCR.
But test positive on a PCR for like 90 days after you've had it.
So then for no logical reason. Like, I don't know, like, health rules, but I don't think anywhere says that you have to stay quarantined for 90 days, or, like, you're still, that's why the recovered status is a thing, right? So, yeah. I mean, we know people who are stuck in countries and can't get out right now because
they're holding them for, like, until they test negative on a PCR,
if someone was up to 90 days. If someone was in a different country, tested positive, they went through their quarantine, they still have to quarantine after a week, 2 weeks, because they're still testing positive. So now they're going to have to quarantine for another couple months. Crazy stuff.
Yeah. So it's like every time we get down the line with trying to plan a trip, it's either somebody can't get in for that reason, or the restrictions seem too scary and vague and strict that we're worried that we would get stuck somewhere and not be able to get out.
But if you guys listen,
we have an episode a few episodes back about how in Catherine got stuck in Cambodia. So that would be the low, that it's been, like, so challenging to try to find somewhere. And we really want to take a trip as a family while we're all here together in Asia, because I don't think that we'll have this opportunity again. So hopefully a high when we come back next week will be that we have figured something out and our family has a trip on the books to take together before we're out of here.
On the books.
On the books. Do you have a goal? I can say mine first because I was just talking about it and thought of it. But I want to find a good hair product to revive my hair. It's been feeling very dry and dry.
Because our friends as well, like, that we've talked to, my hair is really dry. Something about our water is, like, hard. I don't know
what it is. But I also haven't gotten my hair trimmed in a while.
My hair is extremely, extremely dry. And I haven't changed anything about what I'm doing to it. But
yeah, mine
is... Some of us have used Olaplex for years because some of us have stress hair loss.
Oh. Me. Some of us are just experiencing very dry, dead hair right now and want to revive it. So I'm thinking maybe I can try to give myself a little trim and then find a really good, like, hair oil or mask or something to put in it at night. So that's my goal this week, is to figure out a hair routine.
Okay, well, I think you kind of copied me with that because I just got new Olaplex 2 days ago.
You did, and so your hair looks good right now. It's wet, but it looks nice.
Completely wet and saturated with Olaplex. My goal this week is to read this book at the pool, because every time I go down to the pool, because if it's sunny and all I'm doing is reading a book, like, I'm going to go outside, right? That's just the natural progression of how my brain works. But every time I'm like, oh, I'm going to sit down and read this book for a moment, like, why don't I just go outside in the sun? And then I get in the sun, and then the book is on my iPad, and then I can't see the screen. So I'm like, oh, well, I'll just not read, and I'll just, like, sit in the sun, which is still nice, but, like, I want to read the book.
I feel like when books are on electronics, you just get distracted really easily.
That's actually, I don't find that a problem, because I thought I would, using an iPad, but I haven't found that to be a problem, except for when it's in the sun and I can't see the screen.
What's the book?
101, I think is the number. 101 essays that'll change the way you
Stop.
Think.
Stop! I literally looked at that on Amazon, like, in the past couple of days, because it's written by someone that has
The Mountain Is You.
Yeah.
She also has, like, she has prose books, and she has poetry books, and she has essay books, but
good goal. I like it. So let's talk about body image. More specifically, why we have bad body image, and then how to improve it. Why loving your body is important, ways that you can do that yourself and work on it. And I think the first thing to understand is that bad body image, like, it's a universal experience, even if you don't think it is.
Like, universal across genders, ages, sizes, whatever it is, like, literally everyone.
Mm-hmm. I think it's such a day-to-day experience. Because, I mean, think about it. We all live in our own bodies. We all, like, look in the mirror every day. We all, like, put clothes on, exist in our
it's
bodies.
It's the
you
one
know,
thing
like,
that you're, like,
is.
Acknowledging and being aware of. Like, you have to be aware of.
Almost constantly.
Yeah.
Like, you almost constantly have a perception of, like, how you feel or how you think you look in a certain moment. And so it's obviously not expected that that is always going to be good, but I think that when you experience bad body image moments, time periods, days, whatever it is, it can kind of feel like nobody else is struggling with that, because how would you know, right? Like, it's in their heads. You know, sometimes people are vocal about insecurities and things, but, like, how would you know in the moment?
People, I feel like, sorry, side note, people are not, like, voluntarily vocal about it. It's like they feel the urge to bring, it's like almost like making fun of yourself before other people can make fun of you, to kind of like soften the blow, or like, let's just get out of the way kind of thing. Which, number one, that's not true, but that's just how people's brains work, I think. But if you're not feeling comfortable and you're in a group of people or something, or you start like making fun of yourself, not because other people are thinking that or saying that necessarily, but because you're thinking that other people are thinking that.
About you.
Yeah. So you're like, well, let me just say it.
Yeah.
Before you get the chance to.
Yeah, so with that, I think that how you perceive other people's body image, like, it's either people don't talk about it, or it could be, like, kind of making fun of themselves in a jokey way or something. You know, like, often people aren't being very, like, vulnerable and outward. Not that they have to be, no, but just, like, you're saying. Not getting saying. That people from people.
People, when they're vocal about it, it's not in, like, a vulnerable awareness kind of way. It's more of, like, a let's just add.
Like, let's
add
just, like,
to it.
Yeah.
Let's make it worse.
Yeah, and so because of that, I think a lot of the time, if you feel those feelings or, like, have those thoughts about yourself and stuff, you probably feel like nobody else is struggling with that at all, which is the complete opposite of the truth. I honestly think that it is, like, a core thing that everybody deals with.
Or if you know, because we've told you 17,000 times in the past 7 months of these podcasts, that also it's been almost 7 months, so that's pretty cool. But even if you know other people struggle with body image and other people have body image issues, like, even if you know it's a universal thing, when you are dealing with that, that is the last thing that you're going to think of, is feeling that, like, security of it's a normal thing. It's just this emotion, just like any other emotion. It'll pass. It's, like, not indicative of who you are as a person. But when you're feeling that in the moment, you don't think that.
Yeah, or even if you do, even if somebody else, like, is posting on social media or talking to you and saying that they deal with it too, it's like, that gives you a little sense of comfort, but you're like, okay, but I still feel like this.
Right, that doesn't,
you know,
change the fact that you feel that way, because obviously someone can tell you things, they can tell you as much as you can possibly hear, but you'll never, number one, know the extent that someone else is feeling that, or exactly how someone else is feeling that. So even though you know and you can tell yourself that other people feel the same way, you can't really feel that other people are feeling the same way. Does that make sense? They feel like they are solely for you and to you. And not that that's a bad thing or wrong, it just, it makes it hard to expand your view of what it is.
It's also something that fluctuates so much throughout different time periods and also day to day, that I know, at least for me, when I'm not feeling bad body image, then I don't really think of it as something that I need to, like, work on to prevent in the future or to fix, because, you know, when it's, like, not prominent and you're not feeling it, then it's just, like, not a piece of it. But then when it comes on, I feel like it is something that's so prominent in my life, and it really drags everything down. And so when I'm in it, I think of it as, like, oh, this is, like, such a problem, I want to fix this. But then when it's not there, you don't really think about it. But then that makes it harder to, like, actually improve it long term when you're kind of flipping back and forth so much, just as, like, any emotion comes and goes. But I think that it is something that you actually, like, have to work on and have to fight against, because we have literally been wired to have bad body image. Like, the world profits off of insecurities by selling different diets or products or procedures, all of that. So, like, things are designed to perpetuate those insecurities and, like, force them on you so that other people can sell you things or profit off of them. Like, things are designed to make you feel bad about yourself.
Marketing.
As a marketing major. And then it kind of just becomes embedded in the culture around you. Like, think about also how you've been conditioned
by the elders.
by the elders.
By your parents, by people like that.
By movies and TV even as well, and everything. Like, when you hear other people picking apart themselves or talking down on themselves or other people, whether that's, like, people around you saying that, or whether it's, like, in movies and TV shows when people are, like,
commenting on other people's bodies or physical appearance or any of those things.
Then you're conditioned to always have those same thoughts of picking yourself apart or picking other people apart or comparing yourself, or even just thinking and valuing way too much about what people look like. Because even if it's not in like a super negative or super comparative way, like I think we are very conditioned to put so much thought and value into how we look and how other people look as well. Like it's kind of, it's like a conversation piece. It's like everything. I just think it's so embedded in everything, is like looks and weight and all of that.
It's the most convenient thing to comment on. Like it's the easiest way to fill silence or start a conversation with someone, whatever it is, whether it's like, oh, you look so great today, or on social media. I feel like it's different on social media because on TikTok, it's more of like strangers commenting to strangers. Like you see someone post a video about literally anything, and if they happen to be skinny, comments are all workout routine, drop the ab routine, like
it's all about their body, no matter what they're doing.
Someone could be talking about the furthest thing from
health and fitness,
physical appearance, but that's all people want to know. It's like all people seem to care about. Also, don't even get me started. The TikTok algorithm only shows you like 13-year-old girls.
Maybe not 13.
Like, but like skinny young children, right? Like that's literally what the algorithm favors.
Or I feel like they go in both extremes, because at the same time as like people are commenting like, oh my God, you're so, like, I wish I had your body, blah, 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 and that. I also feel like it's very toxic, people being, like, mean about other people's bodies, too.
Oh, for sure. People just, number one, again, someone could be posting in that video, like, they're not wanting to talk about or share health, fitness, their diet, or workout routine, right? But then people in the comments are so quick to just say whatever they want.
Yeah.
Things that, honestly, no one would ever think to say. Mm-hmm. Before social media was a thing. Like, people, genuinely, people don't think that way. And if they do, that is so concerning.
Yeah. Yeah, I think social media has...
It's almost like drawing people to search for things to say. Like, people have to sit there and come up with this stuff. The things that they're saying in the comments. I think social media is great. I think social media is an amazing tool and enables so much creativity that, honestly... I would not be as creative as I am if social media wasn't a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I never would be. If social media was a thing, I never would be interested in creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Or visual anything. Like, that just wouldn't be a possibility or an idea to me when that is something that I love doing. And I'm really, like, it's fun and interesting, right? So social media is great. It connects people. It connects places. It connects ideas. It makes you think in the right settings, but too much can be too much.
And at the same time, though, I think it really has pushed body image issues, because you're constantly scrolling, looking at other people, and like Catherine said, when the algorithm is pushing a certain type of person, a certain body type, because it's eye-catching
Which
to
it
people,
does.
Right? People, you stop scrolling when you see someone who you think has a hot body, right? Like, then people watch it more, then it gets pushed to other people. So, like, what you're seeing is, like, a fraction of people 90% of the time, right? Like, it is not evenly distributed to promote all different body types, races, types of people. Like, it's not.
But also, I saw someone make a TikTok and was, like, makeup days, like, waiting for makeup days to film TikTok. So even the 1% of people that are being pushed on your social media are showing up in their best light, right? So you're seeing the best of the best, if you will, which is just inaccurate for everyone. Yeah. For even the people who you, because the people that you see and you like, they think the same things. They're seeing the same things in other people, and they view other people and the videos of other people in their best light.
Right, like they turn off their cameras and then they probably like
feel
bad about themselves too. Like it does not stop at anyone, honestly.
Which
I think that it reaches
so
everyone.
So fucked up.
Number one, it's pushing people into constantly comparing themselves to a fraction of people that are being pushed online, and you're constantly comparing yourself to this like one standard, and just like seeing other people, one, look a certain way, but then two, also look like they have like unconditional confidence, which just isn't true. Because everyone you see, you don't think that they might think or struggle with the same things. And then two, like we mentioned before, it also opens up a place where people are constantly feel like they have the right to comment on other people's bodies.
Not even that they have the right, that they are called to comment. Because a video or picture or something is out there, someone is out there, and they happen to see it. The, like, fraction of a chance that it ended up on their home screen. For sure that means you can be absolutely ruthless and disgusting in the comments. No. Mm-hmm. That's literally, that's not the way it works. That's not the way. And it's, if, no, because it's honestly, like, unfathomable that some people behave that way.
Yeah.
Is why I can't even put words to it, because it's just so insanely just, who gave you the right to do that?
And if it's not in a negative way, and if it's in a positive way, even if, like, you think you're giving someone a compliment, if they're being flooded with comments about, like, how great their body is, then, yeah, well, maybe each of those people thinks that they're being nice. I also think that then to that person, it's like, oh, okay, now I have to, like, always show up a certain way. I have to always be like this. I have to, like, hold up. Like,
so true. There's one picture thing that I've put off posting for weeks and weeks, because a month ago I posted a picture and it looked like I had abs. So now if I post this picture, people are gonna be like, what happened there?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, I can't post that picture because it doesn't match.
That people have complimented you on before.
Or if someone is struggling with their body image or an eating disorder or whatever it may be, and they post a picture, and all the comments are body goals, body goals, body goals, body goals, body goals, body goals, body goals. Then, like, someone compliment their eyes, Jesus. Like, compliment something else. They're like, there's so much more in that picture. Like, the location, or your hair looks really nice, or you are glowing is my go-to. Like, I try my hardest not to compliment someone's physical features in an Instagram caption, which sometimes I understand is difficult because you have, like, a couple words to hype someone up, right? But there's so much else to talk about.
Yeah. And you never know what is behind that photo. Like Catherine said, maybe it is a disordered thing. Maybe the picture is face-tuned, and then they're like, oh, people are only complimenting me when I've edited my body.
Or
then
that's maybe a problem. Maybe there's literally nothing changed to the picture. But maybe there's nothing wrong behind the picture. But when all the comments are talking about your body, then you're like, oh, maybe I should be focused on it.
Yeah, and
maybe
now you're like, I have to continue showing up with a perfect body.
Even though
body.
They were compliments, they're just like, oh, I have to do more, because that's how people work.
And also, for anyone who is not the poster, looking through the comments, it just keeps spiraling the idea that your body is everything. That is, like, the only value. When you're looking at a TikTok of somebody doing something, and then you look at the comments and everything is like, their body. And then you're like, oh, so people would only give me attention if I had that body, or like, my body doesn't compare, so I wouldn't get this. You know, it's just like,
but also,
for everybody involved, it's a shit show.
Literally everyone. But also, that's nothing new. Mm-hmm. Even before social media, like, body image was a fixation. Like, think about your parents, your mom in particular.
Because I feel like it does affect all genders, but I think women in particular have
more vocal about it.
And have also been more targeted by, like, marketing things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, my mom has friends over, right? Any friends. I would bet so much money that the conversation eventually turns to how they're uncomfortable with their body.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, what they're going to do for weight loss now. Like, right. What the new challenges?
When 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I heard the exact same conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that's just where the conversation goes, because that's what they think they should care about.
And that's what they've been conditioned to
care
about. That's
what they do care about, because that's what they have been supposedly supposed to care about.
Right.
For years. But then, those conversations, if you're growing up and you hear those conversations or those comments or whatever it is, then you think that too. And then that just keeps going.
Then you think that life is about always chasing a certain way, always not being happy with yourself until you look a certain way. Something that, like, I'm sorry, if you're hearing grown women talk about it for years and years and years, is obviously, like, unrealistic for that type of person. And then it's like, so what? You spend your whole life chasing that thing, and then what?
I just think that the older generation is horrendous at making this an issue for their children. It's not their fault, but, like, low-key it is. Literally, parents, I could cite so many sentences and examples. Parents will comment on things, and maybe they think they're being helpful, or maybe they think that it's going to be a positive influence. Even when you're a child. Do you know how many times I will look back on pictures, and, like, growing up, as the, literally, you look at a picture, and all the kids are literally the same size. Mm-hmm. When you look at an old picture of yourself or, like, your group of friends. But if you ever grew up as, like, the athletic one of the friend group, you think you are an elephant. Like, genuinely, you think you are the biggest thing to ever walk the earth.
So true. I feel like growing up, literally, everyone's like, oh, like, you're athletic. You have such athletic, your body, and you're like,
and you're like, shut up. What does that mean?
Can we use the word, like, I guess athletic's not, like, not a bad word. No, not at, even at strong, all.
Which, like, that's a, obviously, that's a compliment. But even when you're, like, 4, 5, 6 years old and you hear that, you're like,
oh, so it's about my body.
You're like, earth shattering. Number one, oh, so it's about my body. I'm literally 6. Let's move on. But also, you're like, what does that mean? That just singles you out, and it makes you, like, feel so under a magnifying glass in, like, your little group.
No, because actually,
we had Calyx on, if you haven't listened to that episode, I forget what number it is, but she was a D1 athlete. You know, she's an athlete now. But growing up as an athletic person, we talked about this before, it is just so ingrained in you that, like, you're gigantic. She didn't use these words, these are my words. Mm-hmm. That you're, like, gigantic because you have muscles, and you're not actually just bones, but you have muscle, and, like, I don't know, it's just crazy.
No, actually,
that's actually crazy. No, because you're literally, you're 4 years old. You're 4 years old, and you're already thinking that you are it's number one, the worst thing on earth. That you are, quote-unquote, athletic.
Even though that's, like, a really good thing. Even though
that's a good thing. And you think you are the most gigantic, ginormous. I remember, like, I wouldn't want to take a picture with my friends, because then people would see how ginormous I am compared to how small they are. And I look at the same picture back, and I'm like, there's no difference between those two people. Mm-hmm. There's literally not one singular difference. Or if you grew up tall, same thing.
Yeah, I don't know the tall experience from experience, but, like, we both have more athletic bodies, and so we've heard that our whole lives.
But, like, it makes no sense, because there's no validity to anything, but it, like, you see, you're 4 years old, and you're like, that, and someone's
maybe
not, like,
4, maybe, like, 10.
Well, when do you, like, start playing soccer or something?
Yeah.
I feel like that, because, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or dance, or, like, swim. Like, we both swam. All of a sudden, you're a kid in a bathing suit.
Swim.
Like, and it's, like, you automatically compare, like, everyone else dance. Is, like, their shoulders aren't as broad as mine, or, like, their legs are so much skinnier or longer
or
and all that.
Or if you're, like, a swimmer in a group of non-swimmers, you're, like, turning sideways to walk through the doorway because your shoulder, like, you have wide shoulder. Like, what is going on with your children? So anyway, people just love to push body image on you because it is the most...
It's the easiest compliment.
It's the easiest thing to talk about. It's the most tangible, visible, obvious thing. Like, it's just what people talk about. Just like you compliment someone's shoes. Like, it's easier when someone walks through the door to say, oh my gosh, I love your shoes. Because guess what? You can see them. You can both see them rather than, like, you're... thoughts on
this are so great.
Right, that comes later in the conversation, if you even get that deep. Which, if someone compliments your body and, like, brings up body image in the first 10 seconds, like, I don't know if the conversation gonna get that deep, because now everyone's hurt anyway. But people love to focus on body image, which
or people love to focus on your body, which in turn affects your body image, because that's just always what it is. When
even if every single thing every new one was saying was positive and was a compliment and there was no negativity behind it on your end or on their end, later down the line, you're just going to think it just piles up and it becomes such a center point of everything you do and say and think and blah, 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 blah.
I think that's probably the root of why, like, you see somebody and you think they're beautiful, you think they have the perfect body, but then they say that they have insecurities or something. Like, if, like, Kendall Jenner saying, like, oh, I'm insecure about this. And you're like, how in the world could you be insecure? Because
You have of millions that. Of people telling you right. you're perfection.
But that's why. Because your whole life, the narrative around everything has been your body, your body, your body. So how could you not constantly be thinking about your body and then picking it apart
right. all the it's time? It's like, at that point, there's in your head, it becomes like there's no room for flaws. Because yeah. I have to, whether you came to that conclusion because people were pointing out your flaws and telling you that you had to improve them, or because people were telling you you actually don't have any flaws, then you're hyper-focused on not having any flaws mm-hmm. and continuing to show up as that, when you can literally find flaws with anything. So you can take your body and how you show up, something that someone else might view as perfect, and because someone else's is different, you think, oh, well, I don't have that. That one, like, line on my stomach or eye shape. Mm-hmm. You're like, let me change that. How do you think you're going to change your eye shape?
Or that jawline.
Like, recode your DNA. That's not how it works, darling.
Mm. And, but oh my God, God forbid, please do not let designer babies be a thing in the future, actually. Like, side note.
That deep. Side I understand note. If you want to code out, like, extreme health problems.
Yes, but do not design the way that people look. Aesthetics. That's
like,
awful.
Well, also, another point, this side note, because someone did a whole, like, hour-long presentation on this in a class one time. Research project. If designer babies happen, then they're going to become pointless in the future, because
everyone's going to look the same. Or what's everyone's going to look the same. It's going to be right? like robot, because then if somebody, I think the thing with beauty standards now is that they do change and evolve because there is diversity. And so if everybody designed their baby to fit what the standard is now, then no one would look different to, like, break out and then become, like, a new sense standard. Of beauty or something. Yeah, that would be really strange. It would, like, maybe stop evolving because no one's going to ever do anything differently once that becomes locked in as, like, what the design is. Weird. But all of this, I think, to say, like, that everybody struggles with body
so
true. Image.
So robot babies, let's get back to body image.
Robot babies, so let's go back to this. Like, sometimes I feel like people won't take me seriously if I talk about body image because I am a generally smaller, healthier, like, fitter person.
But, and so it's like, no, but because yeah. that's how other people see me, but yeah. I don't see myself that way.
Yeah.
I see myself as, oh, I can't actually post this fitness content because do I even look like I work out? Who knows?
Right. Like, everybody sees themselves differently than other people see them. And, like, everybody has so many insecurities, feelings, thoughts that, like, you would never though, see wait, about them not, and never no, know
because
about them.
I would say, like, I would defend to the earth, like, I'm not insecure. I'm not an insecure person. I still have insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a mindfuck. so true. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, it doesn't, like, nobody is exempt from body image issues, no matter how good you think they look or something, like, because of all these reasons that we've talked about, because it is just so embedded in everything that you hear growing up, in the culture of everything, like obviously, nobody is left out of body image issues. Obviously, some people will struggle with it more or less, but, like, the way that somebody looks doesn't determine what their body image is. You could think that somebody is the most beautiful person ever, your standard of beauty, you wish that you could look like them, and they could struggle so hard. You could see somebody else who does not fit the typical mold, but they have built confidence within themselves, and they don't struggle with bad body image as much. Like, the way that somebody looks does not equal how good or bad their body image is. So now that we've had a very long conversation, because it's so important about why it is normal to experience bad body image and why you're literally conditioned to. Now let's talk about why changing that and trying to improve your body image is so important. And number one, because hating your body is such a waste of time and life. Like, it literally is such a waste of time. Because bad body image, and I know for me at least, and probably for a lot of you guys listening, when you're feeling that way, your mood, your perception of yourself, your confidence, it's all completely dropped. And then therefore, you hold yourself back from doing things because all of a sudden, like, your mood is bad, you don't feel like doing something. Like, you just, like, don't want to do something.
Alternatively, the times when you're feeling confident or powerful for whatever reason, maybe the sun's shining, maybe you're in a good mood, maybe you're going out with friends and it's just hitting this time. Because sometimes you go out with friends and it's not hitting, and that's when you're all in your head about How is the way I'm holding this drink weird? But if you're in a good mood, you literally, that's the last thing on your mind, mm-hmm. right? But same with your body image. If you're in a bad mood, bad headspace, and try and do the same thing, go participate in the same activities, you're going to be hyper aware of how you're presenting yourself and how you're showing up. And guess what? That's not going to show up well. However, same situation, same setting, same activities, whatever you may be doing. If you're in a good mood, a good headspace, you're automatically going to just show up with your shoulders back a little, like chest a little taller, like, you know, having a better energy about you. You're going to come across, present well. And you're not going to be focused on how you're, I'm not going to give examples, but like the specific things and unique parts that you pick apart when you have a bad body image moment, right? You're not even going to be aware of those things if you're having a good body image moment.
Mm-hmm.
They just instantly go away.
Yeah. But so because of that, I feel like body image like literally rules everything because it shifts your mood so much. It shifts what you think of yourself so much. And therefore,
it changes how you experience something.
Yeah, therefore, it changes what you do and then also how you feel when you do it. Like, if you feel like shit about yourself and then you go out to dinner or you go out with people and, like, do something, like, you're not going to have a good time because you're going to be so in your head and you're just going to feel down and drained. But, like Catherine said, if you're feeling yourself and you're feeling good and you go out and do the same exact thing, but your body image is better, it changes the entire experience. But also, it changes, I think, whether you have an experience or not. Because how many times have you not done something because you have not felt good in the moment or you felt bad about yourself, and so you've just decided, like, not to do something? Or how many times have you completely held off on experiences or things altogether because you're, like, waiting to wear something or waiting to do something until you look a certain way because you think that it's not good enough in the moment? Or how many times have you, like, had a beach trip or a vacation or something where you're like, oh, like, if only, like, I would have so much more fun, or, like, this would be a better experience if I,
really?
Like,
would the
looked
sun,
a little bit different. And it's like, really?
Would the sun be shining a little brighter? Would the water be clearer and bluer? If you're in a good mood, like, yes, because that's how you perceive it.
But if your body
physically,
was different?
No. The way your body looks is not going to change the topography of where you are. Like, let's get that right first and foremost.
And the experience that's happening. And also, sometimes it's not even about... But also, I think that it's body image, not your body. Because also, how many times have you, like, felt like you looked like shit and you felt like shit during something and you look back at pictures later and you're like, I looked good.
Sorry, this is a side note, a comment that is just... It's funny in my head, but I can't... I don't know where to put it. Like, what platform to put it on. It's like... You'd be looking back at old it's like you look back at old pictures and you're like, oh, I wish I looked like that still. And you're like, excuse me, you were like 15 and had an eating disorder. Can we move on? Let's move on.
And so that's why I think working on your body and working on your body image, while they can be really hand in hand and tied together, I think they really have to be worked on separately, because no shame whatsoever in wanting to change your body in a certain way. Like, that's fine. But you have to also work on your body image at the same time, because by no means does changing your body or getting into a little bit better shape or something completely solve all your body image issues. Yes, it can, if you feel more aligned with the body that you're in, make you feel a bit more confident, but it does not resolve all of the body image issues, because it's so deep-rooted, and it's just where your brain reverts to.
Right. If you want to lose or gain weight or get stronger, become more fit, more healthy, eat better, absolutely. If you want to change your body for the right reasons, go for it. But there is so much more. There's so much more that needs to happen. Like, changing your body will not change your body image. Those are two completely independent things.
And while if you're working on them...
Simultaneously,
they can work together really well. They can also fight against each other really well, too.
So true.
And so I think that they are two separate things. So let's talk about how you can actually improve your body image some, like we usually do when we make different suggestions, a lot of things are mindset switches and mental things, and then a lot of things are physical, actionable things that you can do. So we have some to share with you guys. So the first mindset thing is that you need to ditch the narrative that looking a certain way will make you feel happier. Like we were just saying, your body and your body image, while they can be tied together, it also just is not fully in alignment. Changing your body does not automatically change your body image. It's like really strange, but thinking about the time that I was probably most confident in my body is the time that I was not putting so much pressure on it, and I was just trying to live my happiest, healthiest life, and like I genuinely was feeling like I was living a happy, healthy life. That's when I feel like my body and my body image were both the best, when all of the pressure was not on how my body looked. And I also know that then when I was in more of a restrictive disordered phase, all of the pressure and all of my like,
let's call weight, it what it is, an eating disorder.
All of my, all of you,
in a I restrictive
like,
phase.
I like to beat around the bush.
Yeah, I'm sorry. A restrictive phase. Okay.
I like to circle around. I don't like to claim.
You know, when I was eating like very healthy air, like it was the most, no, it was the most purified air though. It was like dehumidified too.
And I was in the smallest body of my life. It did not automatically make my body image better. It just made me place more value on my body and therefore be thinking about it more, be letting bad body image hold me back more. All of those things. So, like, changing my body in that way did not fix body image issues at all. And I think that there's, like, an equilibrium point where putting the effort into having your healthiest, happiest body, like, health all-encompassing, that then that can funnel into feeling more fulfilled.
Right, of course. They can amplify
you know?
Each other.
Like, they can amplify each other, but going too extreme with trying to change your body will reverse your body image. Putting too much weight and too much value in your body versus other things, even if it's like in a way of love, it just makes you value that more than anything else, so that when you have more negative moments, it's just gonna be like times a thousand, you know? So ditch the narrative that looking a certain way will make you feel happier or change everything.
Ditch the narrative that looking a certain way is the biggest influence of whether or not you are good as a person or have a good life or are happy.
And instead tell yourself that the best body that you can have and exist in is the one that comes when you feel like you're living your happiest, healthiest life. It's not the other way around, right? We're taught that it's the other way around. When I have the body, then I'll be happy. No, you build the life first and the body follows. Also important to accept your body type. Because there are some things that can literally never be changed. Like Cal and Catherine said before, we both have very athletic bodies. Like, we've known that since we were children.
Right.
And there are things that come with each of our body types that...
Fat ass, for example. Sorry. The non-video podcast is really just like...
Yeah, so if you're new to the podcast,
I'm currently sitting sideways on a chair, like, leg up.
We often do, or recently we've been having video podcast episodes, both on Spotify and on YouTube. We decided not to turn the video on for this episode because
obviously
I feel like
we're
it's
talking
a
about
very...
body image, what are we going to
Right. We were like, what are we going to do? Because when we do video podcast episodes...
Here's
we...
my body looking really good. And then it got like an hour of just back and forth. Of,
yeah.
Here's me looking like shit. Oh, and this is me. I look really hot here. And then this is like not so good. Like that... helps no one.
Yeah, so when we do video podcast episodes, we like to put clips in of our lives, of the things we're talking about, but we were like, body image, I feel like it's just kind of besides the point to have video for this. So you can go watch our other recent episodes, but this one is just audio. And yes, and Catherine's very sprawled out right now. But yeah, accepting that there are some things that literally cannot be changed about your body, right? Like, you can't change your height. You can't change your bone structure. You can't change where your body likes to store fat. You can't change your bone density or the amount of muscle that your body naturally has. You can't change...
You're not fat. You're just big boned. That's such a go-to for people to say. Like, what
is broad?
Like, for why?
So there are things about your body type that just can't be changed. There are things genetically that can't be changed. There are things that you can change and improve and work on when you, like, work to be healthier, you work to get stronger, you up your fitness game. But there are things that you also just can't change about your body. So understanding what those are and accepting them is very important to improving your body image. Also, stop judging other people's bodies, or like even when you do it subconsciously, like because
looking
I think,
at them,
yeah, or like analyzing, or maybe you could even take that a step further and try to outwardly compliment other people on things other than their body. Like when you see somebody,
it's really
out
fun
or something,
because yeah. I've been trying to do that for like a really long time on social media, because that's the easiest way, because 90% of the comments are like, you look so good, like physical comments. So gotta balance it out.
Yeah.
But it's really fun, because once you start looking for them, because you get bored of saying you're glowing, even though it's true, like, you gotta get creative with
it. I love saying, like, you look so happy here, someone's smiling,
and
or, like, love to see you look so happy.
But you gotta get creative. And then you realize all these other things, because there's so much else beyond what you'd be looking like.
Yeah. I can guarantee that if you see someone in person, and if the first thing you say isn't like, oh my god, you look so good, or that, which, yes, that's a compliment. Like, yes, it's great to tell people that you
look
good.
People love to hear
that
they look
good, you compliment
them.
But if you sometimes say a compliment that isn't about how someone looks, like, I guarantee you that that person will remember that compliment, and that will boost their confidence for the rest
of the
night.
It'll also...
Because you're used to people coming up to you and being like, oh, you look so good. Oh, I like your shirt. All that. And, like, that's all great. Say that if you want to. But if you can give someone a compliment on something other than their appearance, number one, that's going to stick out to them. And number two, it's training your brain to look for things in other people that isn't their appearance. And therefore, you're going to start appreciating and noticing more things about yourself that aren't about your appearance.
And number three, I promise it'll start better, deeper, more valuable, impactful, blah, 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 blah conversations.
Absolutely.
And better friendships.
Another somewhat mental, somewhat actionable thing is push yourself to not let bad body image stop you from doing something. When you are experiencing that, and
life hack, if you don't like the way you look, don't look. Turn your mirror around.
Yeah.
And go about your life. Put on a sweatshirt and move on.
This is another tip.
Fix it by ignoring it a little bit. I'm gonna be honest, that works in this situation a little bit.
It does. No, it literally does. So, but if you, like, have plans, or you have something, or, like, something that you've been looking forward to doing, and you're going to the beach or something, and then all of a sudden you're just, like, dragged down because you're having a bad body image moment, like, do everything you can to, like, make yourself feel a bit better, or ignore it in that moment and follow through with the thing that you want to do, because you're going to look back and be really happy that you gave yourself an experience and you did the thing, versus letting yourself just, like, sit with yourself being mean to yourself, you know? Don't let bad body image stop you from doing something, or do what you can to try to push forward from that. And if you do feel like shit in the moment, like Catherine said, don't look.
Don't look.
Put on baggy clothes. Honestly, like, if I don't feel good about myself, like, in no world am I gonna then, like, put on tight clothes or, like, little shorts and a crop top. Like, no.
And
that's when I'm gonna put on a big t-shirt or a hoodie or something.
Putting on baggier clothes isn't making the problem worse. What's making the problem worse is if you feel like absolute ass crack and you put on some jean shorts, what do you think that's gonna do? It's gonna make it worse.
Jean shorts in particular.
And I was specific. Jean shorts.
Jean shorts make me feel bad. I'm yet to, sometimes. I want to find a good pair because I think they can be cute, but I would like to find a pair of jean shorts that makes me feel good, because they usually don't.
They're just, like, not good. But if you, and also, like, if you put on clothes that you know are going to make you feel uncomfortable, have you ever, even if you're feeling good in the moment and you put on, like, that shirt that you don't wear because it doesn't make you feel great, or the pair of pants that is maybe a size too big or a size too small, even if you didn't feel bad before, you're gonna go out and you're gonna be like, oh my god, all eyes are on me because they know that my pants are really uncomfortable. Like, you're just gonna be hyper aware, and that's just not what it's about. That's not gonna that's not gonna make anything better. So wearing clothes that don't make you hyper aware of how your body looks and feels in them, because if you wear baggier clothes, you don't really know where your body ends and the clothes start, kind of thing.
Mm.
Which, that is one point, if you wear that all the time, that can add to making you feel gross, right? If you just, like, never put on real clothes. However, if you put on real clothes when you're having a bad body image day, you are so hyper aware of, like, these are the clothes and this is my body. And I know exactly the point where my stomach is pushing on my button, my pants button right now. And I know exactly the point where it ends half a centimeter too high above my ankle. Like, all the random shit that you only know when you're feeling bad is, like, so amplified if you have to wear tight clothes that in that setting are uncomfortable.
So if you are not feeling good in the moment, put on the comfortable, more baggy clothes. Even, like, if you're going out somewhere and you don't want to wear sweatpants or something, like, if you have, like, a good, like, loose pair of pants or, like, a not cropped, like, not super tight cropped up, like, maybe have some of those things so that you feel like you can have go-to outfits to go out in.
Baggy jeans are in style. Don't feel that great.
Yeah. Also, having the clothes that you always wear also fit and feel good. Like, not even just when you're having a bad body image moment, but just, like, having clothes that fit and feel good. That's what all clothes should be. And if summer comes around and you go to put on clothes from last summer or something, they don't fit you right, they don't feel good, set them aside and don't wear them this summer. Like, you don't need to keep around clothes or try to wear clothes that don't fit you right, that don't make you feel good. Because if they don't make you feel good, then what are you doing with
them? Episode something, I forget. Things to get rid of. Point four. Made that up. I forget what point it was. Crusty-ass clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of them. Donate them. Give them to your friends that maybe want them. That if you're done with them, if it doesn't make you feel good, you don't need to keep it.
And make sure that you have some staple clothes that fit you right, that feel good. Like, I'm very much at a point in my life right now.
My two pairs of jeans and, like, three shirts.
Where I want to be so much more minimal with things because I feel like in the past, up until now, like, I've just bought things, like, if they're okay or if they're, like, good enough or something. And now I'm like, I would rather spend more time searching or more money on things that genuinely make me feel confident, fit right, feel good, and are good quality, like, that I'll just, like, wear over and over again.
This one pair of Levi's jeans that we share.
Ribcage. Yeah, we share Rib them because we both love them.
We share them because we can't decide.
They're probably $100.
$100, Levi's, which is, like, a normal price for jeans, but $100 is a lot of money. Right. You can't just be spending $100 every day on jeans. But worth it, because we actually haven't worn them in a long time, but
because we wear them, like, literally every single day.
Like, it is so worth it. It is so worth it because, number one, they actually fit right and they are good.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I don't care. Like, would you rather spend $100 on a pair of jeans that you're going to wear every other day for 4 years straight? Or would you rather spend $25? I don't know if they even make jeans for $25. But would you rather spend $25 on a pair of jeans every few months because they don't fit right and they're also bad quality and, like,
And they don't make you feel
it's
good.
It's financial responsibility.
Exactly. And I want to take the same perspective for bathing suits this summer because I feel like I have a lot of bathing suits collected where a lot of them, like, don't fit me perfectly or, like, I don't feel super confident in them. And it's like, I want to just find a few bathing suits that, like, fit me perfectly, are functional, makes you feel good and comfortable. And so I want to find what those perfect ones are for me because I have some good ones, but I feel like there are some out there that would just, like, really elevate things and just, like, make me feel confident. A physical thing is to and make sure that you have clothes that fit and feel good, and if things are not doing that for you, then get rid of them or set them aside and don't pay them attention right now. Other physical things that you can do to feel better about your body is to make your body feel good, right? Because aside from what your body looks like, how my body feels affects my body image so much. If I am feeling like I have gotten bad sleep, if I am totally stressed out, if I have not been giving my body nutritious food or I haven't been moving my body, then I feel bad about my body. Like, if I'm not doing the things to make my body feel good, then I don't feel good about it. And that makes a lot of sense when you say it that way. So a workout routine that makes you feel good and just moving your body, focusing on eating nutritious foods. Gut health is huge for me because my stomach, like physically feeling good, affects how my entire body feels and then how I feel about myself. So focusing on my gut health with foods that I know don't upset my stomach, things that improve my gut health, that is huge for me and affects me so much. Decreasing stress, because when you're just all stressed out about other things, then I feel like that just impacts how you feel about yourself as well. Because maybe it's like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like a comfort thing. Like you're stressed out about other things and then you're just like kind of revert. Like you just like kind of pull back and feel bad about yourself in those ways. So any way to decrease stress in your life, which getting good sleep is a huge piece of that. And just making sure that you're doing fulfilling things in a range of areas of your life and not putting too much stress in any one thing that's going to like totally stress you out. But it's hard, like it's hard to ever eliminate stress altogether. But I do notice for me that times when I'm particularly stressed or not sleeping well, like bad body image is heightened for me then.
Because it's literally all in your head.
Another actionable thing is anything like self-care where you're just like doing something nice for your body. Like I said, my goal this week is to focus on hair care and making my hair feel better because that will in turn make me feel better and probably improve my body image if I feel like I'm doing good things for my hair as well. But like, you know, you feel good when you like exfoliate and moisturize and like do those self-care things for yourself. Or if it's like cleaning your environment and lighting a candle or some essential oils or things in your room, like doing nice things for yourself will make you feel better about yourself. And then sometimes you just have to force the confidence. Pick up your shoulders, stand up tall. Like if you act like somebody with confidence and healthy body image in the moment, then you can start to feel that way.
Sorry, confidence is a choice because it's not real in the sense that we think it's real.
Yeah.
It's not real in the way we think it is. It's real in the way that confident people aren't confident because of the way they look or the things they do or all the positive good things about them necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Confident people are confident because they know all the good things and they know all the bad things and they still choose to present themselves.
I like that.
End of sentence.
And lastly, listen to your body, because ultimately I think having good body image is by having a good relationship with yourself and your body in general. And I think you can really build that by just trusting your body and listening to different things. Like when you have energy to get out, then go get the energy out. When you're tired, rest. When you're hungry, eat. You know, like if you can just listen to your body's natural things and have a little more trust in your body, then that's really impactful in the relationship you have with yourself and then in turn how you think about yourself and your body image. And before we say goodbye today, I also want to share with you guys that I am relaunching my fitness program Change with Caroline to be more than just a fitness program and a lifestyle program. This is something that I'm so proud of because I feel like it embodies all of my beliefs, all of my values, and it gives you something that puts fitness and nutrition hand in hand with self-confidence and body image. I've created this program to help you live a more healthy, confident, happy lifestyle by combining fitness and nutrition with mindset, goal setting, body image, self-confidence, and so many other things that I think make up a well-rounded life. That's launching in just a few weeks, and everybody who's on the waitlist beforehand is gonna get an exclusive discount, as well as it'll just help you stay up to date with all the updates for that. The waitlist doesn't tie you in, it just makes sure that you're in the loop and you're able to get that discount. So if you want to learn more about this program and you think that it's something that you want to join because it truly is such a unique, one-of-a-kind program, then I will have the link to the waitlist in the notes of this episode so you guys can go check it out. We hope you loved this episode and we will see you next Monday. Bye!